Here we go.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Loud noises!
I know kung fu.
This is madness!
Where are you?
Hey everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the 8-Bit Geek. We have the privilege of interviewing the owner and showrunner of Texas Frightmare Weekend, Lloyd Cryer. Thank you, Lloyd, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
We're pretty excited to talk about all things Texas Frightmare, and of course, kind of the past of it, because we're going into, this is the 11th? 11th
this
one,
is year 11, yeah. That's correct.
That's rad.
So, before we get into the whole con thing, obviously you're kind of a big horror guy, and we just kind of wanted to see what actually got you into the genre in the first place.
You know, when I was a kid, my mom, she took me to everything, any movie that I wanted to see. I can remember seeing The Exorcist when I was like 4 years old.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was, you know, I had a real cool mom. She took me to everything. I'm assuming I'm a little older than you guys, so I remember going to the drive-in a lot, and you know, I saw a lot of Hammer movies there. I saw David Cronenberg flicks like Rabid and all kinds of crazy stuff when I was, you know, really, 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 really young, and it always left an impression on me, and I always wanted to know why or how they did everything. So that was a big thing, and it also scared me crazy a lot of these movies. And so I guess when you see that kind of stuff, you kind of want to know how it works, and you kind of want to conquer your fear at the same time,
right? Oh man, yeah.
You mentioned That's Exorcist awesome. And man, I remember seeing that when I was younger as well, and I can't tell you how, I've told this to these guys before, but I would not go near a puddle after seeing that film. Absolutely, I would not. I felt like I was going to get grabbed and dragged right in.
Yeah.
Anytime there were flies in the room, he'd freak out.
Well, that whole movie scared me crazy, and but I always go back to it. It's one of my favorite movies, so I love it. I still love it to this day. I try not to watch it too much because I don't want it to, you know, any of that to wear off, you know, that feeling, that mm-hmm. creepiness. Mm.
Yeah, that's what we're going to ask, is what kind of was your favorite movies growing up?
Loved The Exorcist. Had this thing for, I remember seeing Martin when I was real little, and always loved the old George Romero movie, Martin.
George Romero, yeah.
Yeah. And Cronenberg, Rabid, was, and if you watch Rabid, it's almost like a zombie movie, really. You know, this rabies thing spreads and goes across the nation or whatever they're depicting in the movie. And but yeah, Rabid, a huge Cronenberg fan. I've always loved Cronenberg.
Nice. Yeah, Scanners. The Fly. The Fly creeped me out as a kid.
Yep. Yeah, agreed. Oh yeah, loved The Fly. Mm-hmm. Also, really like you know the Texas stuff, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, was one that. I don't know. That was one growing up that made me realize that there were people like that out there. Of course, you know, that was, you know, just based on real people. It wasn't true as they purported at the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those things that made me realize, yeah, there really are these people out there that are like this. And it disturbed me a lot as a kid. Yeah.
Well, especially like, I mean, if you were from Texas, I mean, that had to hit so close to home.
It really did. And I grew up in a little bitty town called Bardwell, Texas, and it was a lot like, you know, the little town they stop at the gas station. Yeah. You know, we had one gas station in town and a highway that ran through it and lots of roadkill.
And a drive-in. Or did you have to go far to actually go see those?
We had to drive into Ennis, but, you know, that was like 15 minutes.
Oh, my God. I still go to Ennis. Is it still at that? Is it? Now, I'm sure it's different, or do they still use the same drive-in for there?
It's different. That's a newer drive-in, the one you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The one I went to was called the Foxfire drive-in. Then if we didn't go to the drive-in, we were at the Terra Theater, which was started by the same guy who started Cinemark. Oh, cool. So the guy that had the regular theater, I don't know if Foxfire was his too, but he had the regular theater called the Terra, and he went on to start Cinemark Theaters.
Wow. Nice. That's pretty
neat. Yeah, which is a big giant, you know, multiplex thing.
Oh yeah. There's one, we just moved into a new house and it's right across the street from where I live. It is awesome. I just go there to watch a movie.
Yeah, well, it's crazy. My mom went to school with that guy. I didn't really know him much, but, you know, they were always, you know, good friends through, you know, up until he died. So he's an interesting character. You should look him up sometime.
I'll definitely have to. So what are your thoughts kind of on, obviously you've had your favorite films from back when you were a child, and how does it compare to what you see now? Like, you know, either the indie horror or the big budget horror films.
I love any horror film. Mm-hmm. Even nowadays, I mean, it's different. It has a different feel. I still watch a lot of old stuff, and I'm always looking for, you know, some hidden gem that I missed from 30 years ago or whatever. But I watch everything. I love it all, and I'm one of those guys that thinks there's really not a bad movie. Mm-hmm. All movies, you know, were made by people who put, you know, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into them. So I'll watch anything.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm almost I'm kind of a connoisseur of bad films too. So
speaking of, oh man, we just watched Motel Hell yesterday with some friends. We were covering like Urbanophobia, and that was like, you know, the whole Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like the B-rated version.
Right.
That one's classic. Yeah, it's so bad it's good.
Farmer Vincent's Fritters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you get, what was it? What was the slogan for that? You
takes get all kinds of the critters.
To make Farmer Vince's
fritters. Yeah.
Oh, so good.
That's a great movie. I remember that the Fangoria issue number 9, Fangoria number 9, where that was on the cover, where, you know, the guy with the pig head with the chainsaw, Farmer Vincent gone mad. That was, you know, I grew up with Fangoria, and they're our sponsor now, but looking back on my childhood, there was so many things that, you know, when Fangoria had it in their magazine, oh my god, I had to go out and see it. And that's just one. When you've mentioned Motel Hell, I thought of that cover to the Fangoria number 9.
Oh man, because that was the only way you'd be able to know about horror movies back in the 80s and 90s for the most part. But yeah, it's like Fangoria, you know, I found out about, like, my favorite thing is Friday the 13th, and I remember just seeing like Jason Goes to Hell and seeing all the behind the scenes stuff in Fangoria, and that was my first experience with Fangoria magazine, and I fell in love with it. I had to get a subscription like ASAP.
Well, we didn't have the internet, so yeah. I mean, just tracking down a movie, you know, if you missed it, if it didn't show at your theater, you know, it was so difficult. Nowadays, you know, you can get online and whatever, you can find whatever you want, but it was so, I remember wanting to see Suspiria so bad for so long. Yeah. And none of the video stores in my town carried it. And I didn't get to see Suspiria for, I don't know how long after it came out, years and years.
Yeah, it came out in 77, Dario Argento. Oh, classic. Yeah, classic.
Exactly.
If you haven't noticed, Kevin is our horror aficionado.
Yep.
We're fans, but he definitely has the background and all. He's like a Wikipedia. We go to him.
I just grew up shopping the Blockbuster section back when kids could still rent horror movies. Yeah. And I must have rented every single horror movie in that section. Like, even the bad ones, going back to like American Gothic and just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all the Sleepaway Camps and just everything I could find. Even I think the one they wouldn't let me rent because I was like 8 years old at the time was Frankenhooker. So I had to get my mom to rent it.
That's funny. She did?
Yeah, she didn't care. My mom was totally cool. And she watched it with me. So, I mean, you know, to make sure.
But well, that's totally Frankenhooker.
You had a mom like that too, obviously, that, you know, let you watch whatever you wanted. And, you know, you didn't grow up to be a serial killer or anything, so.
No, let me go
that
ahead.
We know of.
That we know, yeah, that we know of.
There's still a chance.
Wait until he pulls that green screen away from behind him.
It's hiding something bad.
Oh, boy.
See, I grew up in, like, I grew up in, like, the kind of opposite of you guys. I grew up, like, in a pretty strict Christian home.
But it's really weird because I remember my dad used to watch these movies, but he was very much like them. Oh, you can't watch PG-13 till you're 13. You know, you can't watch R until you're 7. Like, of course I didn't. Right? But I mean, I remember being super young and him watching like Chucky. I must have been like 4. It was like Child's Play 1. And I remember it terrified the shit out of me. And then I think that's why he's like, this is why you don't watch scary movies. Like, you're not supposed to because you're way too young for this.
Yeah.
Because it must have been around the time that they were coming, those movies were out, because I remember like going to like a Sack and Save, like one of those grocery stores, and they had the claw machine and there was a Chucky doll in it. And I remember being young enough that I was like, oh God, no, there he is.
I remember our store had one of those too.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It really helped the My Buddy sales, I'll tell you that, when that came out.
Yeah.
It's just weird because I just remember, like, again, like, I didn't watch a lot of it growing up, but I remember my dad watching a lot of it and him having like the Pumpkinhead video game for PC, like way back in the early 90s.
That's like, cool.
Like, what is this? And he was like, oh, don't worry about it, it's not for you. But you're playing a video game, Dad.
I didn't know there was a Pumpkinhead video
game.
Yeah, that was my introduction to Pumpkinhead, and I think it was later that I was like, oh, there's a fucking movie about this?
Yeah, so we're all, we're all big fans. Doug started 2 years ago, Doug, probably.
Yeah.
We do 8-Bit Horror Fest in October. It's just where we, as a collective, try to watch 30 horror films in the month of October. And so they have both been trying to reel me back into the horror genre. And I've been really enjoying it because I got out of it for a little while because I couldn't stand all of the porn torture stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I kind of got, are you okay with that
no,
stuff?
No, that's really my least favorite because there's no story. There's no,
it's trying to gross out the audience. And I think there's a difference between being grossed out and actually being scared. Like,
right.
Being grossed out doesn't scare me. It's just gross.
Right. Yeah. Well, being grossed out is cool if it's done the right way.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, I mean, you can be scary and be gross, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the ones where it's just like I'm not a fan of like the Hostel movies, really, because some of it's just why? This isn't scary.
Yeah.
I'm never going to stay in a hostel, ever.
That's the way I felt about Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, the beginning, or whatever it was. It was it just seemed like they were trying to cash in on the whole torture porn thing.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stand it. So I thought the first remake was decent, but the second one was just all torture porn.
Yeah. Right, and they did so many of them. And it was funny, Texas Chainsaw, The Next Generation, the one with Renee Zellweger and... what is that? All right, that dude.
Matthew
McConaughey, all right.
Yeah.
Horror nodes when you can't think of Matthew McConaughey's name.
Right, yeah. We could talk Romero, we could talk Tony Todd, all of these guys, but when it comes down to like stuff like that, I'm behind.
He's a Texas boy, isn't he? We know.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Right. All right, so let's jump a little bit into the start of your convention. And so I don't know if the Wikipedia is right about this, so I'm guessing since it's the 11th, it has it listed as 2006, but you started it in 2005?
Well, I guess that's when we conceived of the idea was 05, but okay. February 4th and 5th of 06, I believe, was the first event. So we actually had our 10th annual event last year, and this will be the 11th annual.
And so if I read this right, you were just sitting around one day and you just said, hey, let's start a con?
Pretty much. It was kind of a weird thing. I guess my wife and I, we talked about it here and there. And I had talked about it. She just kind of sat there and looked at me. But I had talked about doing this horror convention and at the time I was running this, DVD website where I was selling, DVDs and videotapes or whatever, and that was kind of during the boom of that DVD thing. And, the business was doing okay. And, it was weird. I ran into, Terry Lofton. I was selling Nailgun Massacre, on videotape there. And he called me up one day and that's how I got to know Terry. And then, Ashley Ray, she did a lot of like Z-grade horror, and she was a Playboy centerfold, and She'd done all this stuff, and I was selling a movie that had a trailer on it to a movie that hadn't been released that she was in. So she called me up one day and wanted to get a copy of this movie. And so I came home one day and I told my wife, I said, well, you know, I got, you know, Terry Lofton, I've got Ashley Ray. We could have a convention. So that's kind of how it started. You know, and then we just kind of reached out to other guests and it so just it wasn't built from
like,
there.
So just, it wasn't like, oh, well, I've got all these connections to everybody. It was literally just starting it from the ground up and just saying, well, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was throw something at the wall and see what sticks, and that's how it was born. I mean, I guess in the beginning I was reaching out to the people that meant a lot to me, like Herschel Gordon Lewis and Tom Savini and some of the Chainsaw folks, Chainsaw mm-hmm. 2, like Bill Moseley and and those guys, and that was the first convention. And once you reach out to a couple of those key people, then they know other people mm-hmm. That would like to be involved in the event. So it just kind of built from there.
Just kind of snowball. So your first year, how many guests did you have?
I want to say we had 15 or 20. Mm-hmm. You know, the big ones were Sid Haig and Bill Moseley. And literally their line was just around, you know, the building. It was huge. So.
Oh, that had to be around Devil's Rejects days, right?
It was right after Rejects was released on home video, so.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was just huge.
Sid is so nice. Both of them, Bill Moseley and Sid Haig, are some of the nicest guys you don't expect them to be after watching stuff like, you know, just Devil's Rejects, The House of a Thousand Corpses, and just stuff like that. And you're like expecting them to be like assholes, but they're super nice, especially Sid Haig.
He's super nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to know that those people still exist.
Yeah, the first event, you know, my wife and I were like, you know, a ball of nerves. And, you know, we took them out to dinner. We said, hey, we're going to take you all out to dinner tonight. So this was the night before the convention. So we took them out to dinner. And, you know, they were just Sid and his wife, Susie, were just the nicest folks. They kind of put us at ease and said, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. It's all going to work out. And it did. So, yeah, you're right. They're the nicest folks.
And they just did this, like, even knowing it was your first convention and your first try at it, and they had no problem with that. They were just right on board.
They were right on board, and very, very thankful to them, because who knows how it would have turned out that first year if we didn't have, you know, two big names like those guys.
Mm-hmm. Right. You might not be here talking today.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that was a big concern, because before we even opened the doors, I think online we sold like 100 tickets. So we were... you know, I was like, oh, I don't know if I can go through with this. You know, I'm gonna lose everything. Nobody's gonna show up. It's gonna be terrible. But it, you know, it didn't turn out that way. And it was also Super Bowl weekend, which, you know, I don't watch Super Bowl. I don't watch football, so mm-hmm. you know, hey, that
if you
was
can get folks out of their house Super Bowl weekend. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
It all turned out well. We were definitely fortunate and thankful for everybody that showed up, and people. They showed up so excited because this is something we'd never seen in this area before.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's definitely it, at least from I've seen a lack. There was a lacking of things like that, especially with Comic Cons as well. Until of course Comic Con came through, and now they're into the Dallas Convention Center and stuff like that. But
mm-hmm. And they were around back then. They were just a lot smaller, mm-hmm. and they didn't mm-hmm. really do any horror stuff. So.
Yeah, it's really been in the past 3 or 4 years that they've really, really, really exploded. And now that they've been their summer show has been bought by Fan Expo Canada, like, it's just ridiculous.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if you've seen their lineup for this year, but it's insane.
Yeah, I think I've seen they've got like John Cusack.
Yeah, John Cusack. I mean, like, what the crap? Yeah, this is one of our
doing like, the circuit.
Did, yeah, how yeah. did you? Yeah, because I heard he's going to be like C2E2 or also.
Yeah, he'll be in Chicago, right?
So it's like, yeah, I guess it's just like, hey, this is a thing that people do to make money, I guess. I'm going to go do that now.
Yeah, hey, you never know. I mean, the people you think will never do one, you know, that all of a sudden they say, well, I'll just try it out.
And you got to catch them at that time, too. I remember, I mean, you got to think about people, too, that show up to it and small, you know, when they do smaller movies and then they blow up, take... Daryl from The Walking Dead, I can't remember his name,
Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus, he would show up in Chicago like every year for like a Boondock Saints reunion, and you know, 5-10 people will come up to the booth, and now Walking Dead, you can't pay him to go to a convention anymore. You know, yeah, that dude is blown up. He doesn't even need to show up anymore to those.
He did our show like 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just, he's so huge now, you know, it's just like, wow. I mean, yeah, the guy's massive, and he only does like giant comic conventions now.
Yeah, like probably like official Walking Dead stuff. So
right, right.
But it's cool to see them in such a small environment and see them blow up like that. I mean, it's good for them, you know.
Exactly.
Especially on your level, I'm sure if you've had a few people at your convention, you know, and blow up, it's got to be a good feeling knowing you're like, hey, I was on the ground with them, you know.
Oh yeah, we talk about it all the time, you know. Yeah, we used to bring in Norman when he was, you know, when nobody cared.
Yeah.
So what did okay? So at the beginning, you said that you had about 100 people who essentially prepaid, and you're kind of worried about it. But as that weekend went on, was the first it was a 2-day weekend then for that, for your first show,
right?
So by the end of it, were you like, wow, this is gonna work out? Like,
well, what happened is we went in, I guess it was Friday night. And, you know, kind of were getting things set up. And then Saturday morning, we went in real early. And we just kind of worked all morning getting everything set up, getting, you know, guests at their table, making sure everything was going right. And we didn't really poke our heads out until right before we were going to open the door. And when we did, the line was around the building. Nice. So we were like, that was at the moment where we were like, you know, at least people are going to show up. And then the parking lot was jam-packed. ATM machines, all, you know, in a, you know, 10-mile radius around the convention center were going empty. Next thing we knew, we heard the mayor of Grapevine showed up, and he just kind of drove around to look at the parking lot, you know, and see how full it was. And we were like, wow, this is amazing.
Grapevine has a mayor?
Yeah. Believe it or not, yeah.
And so that was at the Grapevine Convention Center. So how fast did you grow out of that?
Immediately. So we knew that the next year we'd have to move to a hotel. Number one, because logistically it was so difficult to get people from an airport to a hotel, from a hotel to the convention center, and then back and forth every day. So immediately we knew we had to move. So we moved to another hotel the next year. The next year we had to move to a bigger hotel. And that happened every year pretty much until we moved to the Sheraton in Irving. Mm-hmm. And that kind of housed us for about 3 years, I think. And then we finally moved to where we're at now, at the Hyatt Regency inside the airport. So, yeah, it's grown every year pretty much.
That's great.
Yeah. Great location too. I was the guy who kind of talked these guys into going, because once again, they're not into horror as much as I am. And when I saw that you guys were doing the Phantasm reunion last year, I had to go. I mean, I was a huge fan. I live in Kansas City right now, so I flew out to see them, and we just basically drove up there and covered the event. It was unbelievable. And meeting Angus Scrimm was one something off my bucket list, you know. And I got to meet him and found out that he was from Kansas City, and we had like a short conversation. His eyes like lit up when he found out I was from Kansas City. It was unbelievable. So thank you for that, by the way. I mean, that's amazing to get him to come out.
I felt the same way. And you know, and then what was it, not 6 months later he passed away. So
yeah it's
that's
really
a
sad.
That's a hard thing, is we've seen a lot of our icons. You know, we've lost a lot of them in the last couple of years, and especially this year, it just seems like they're one after the other.
Yeah, it's scary. I'm definitely gonna have to meet George Romero this time. That guy's smoking like 3 packs a day and everything. I gotta meet him before it's too late.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think George quit smoking. Unbelievably, I the last time he was at the show, I did not see him smoke one cigarette.
Wow.
So who knows? Yeah.
He must know it's catching up with him.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of brings up the next question. Like, you've done this 11 years now. You know, Kevin is a big fan and he gets starstruck and everything like that. And have you had that moment to where, I know you're running it and you have to have some level of professionalism, but Have you had that moment where you're just like, I can't stand this. This is nuts. And just that fanboy comes out of you with one of the guests that you're standing in front of or that you invited and that's coming.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Every year there's always somebody, you know, I mean,
who's it this year? Put you on the spot.
Man, there's so many. I'm always that way in front of George. Mm-hmm. George is, you know, I was such a huge fan of his as a kid. And, mm-hmm. you know, they literally from day one, Savini, I grew up, he was an icon to me. He was like my idol.
Yeah.
And day one, you know, I had that with Savini. And he's not real big on, you know, people getting in front of him and just, you know, oh, thank you. You're awesome. You're a legend. Yeah. You know, so that was a little tough, you know. I always, you know, in the beginning, I got real shaky, you know, with people that I admired so much. But now, you know, I'm able to keep it under wraps a little, but I still feel it inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always that way with George. I think I'm getting more impressed with the kind of guests that we're able to get lately. Yeah. You know, like last year we had Neve Campbell. I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, this year we've got Matthew Lillard and we've got another guest that I'm hoping we get confirmed tonight that's really cool. I better not say anything. I better wait until it's confirmed. But I've got a really cool guest that
I mean, if it gets confirmed while we're doing the show, I mean, that would be legit.
And if you wanna drop it, we won't launch this until it's confirmed.
Well, I'll tell you. I will tell you that I'm working on sort of a big guest from Scream. Nice. from the original Scream. So I'll say that.
Okay.
Hopefully it'll
Drew Barrymore, everyone.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. No, it'd be great. I would love to drop it. But I tell you what, if it happens while we're talking, I will definitely drop the name.
Nice. Does it rhyme with Schmortney Schmocks?
No. Okay, so we're kind of whittling them down.
We're
here.
Whittling them down. Well, by the end of this podcast, we will have the name.
We'll all know.
I mean, right now though, the guest list looks so good. You've got all the horror icons here. You know, you got Robert Englund. You know, you got Kane Hodder. Oh man, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, Dick Warlock, who was
Dick Warlock.
Michael Myers, Halloween 2, Candyman.
Yes.
Yeah. God, he scared the living shit out of me as a kid.
Isn't that a great movie?
Yes.
It scares me.
He's the voice of Zoom right now on The Flash. For all those people that are into The Flash, like us.
That voice is great. He was the Fallen on Transformers.
He was
in The Crow. I mean, he's been in a lot of things. And the thing that scared me about him, because I grew up in Chicago about a couple miles away from Cabrini Green, so when I watched the Candyman, I had to basically sleep like next to my parents for 2 weeks.
Oh, I bet.
The Candyman scared the crap out of me. I would not stand in front of a mirror, light on or light off.
No, me neither.
Yeah. It's such a great movie.
Yeah. Oh man. So you got a hell of a lineup this year, and it seems like it's only going to get better.
Yeah, it was really cool because we booked. I think Tony Todd and Kane Hodder were the first two guests that we booked. I think that was back in like July or August, and of last year that we booked them, and then it just kind of built from there, and all of a sudden we had all the major slashers, you know, the legend, you know, legends of slashers, if you want to say it that way.
That's your tagline for 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and then of course we've got Matt Lillard and Skeet Ulrich, and they're, you know, both Ghostface.
Yeah. But, so you get that.
Yeah. Which is, you know, kind of in the newer gen, you know, the 90s generation slashers. So, it was kind of cool.
But they're still, and they're still icons too, which is pretty amazing. What So you've been booking a lot of these folks. Have there been any of them coming straight to you and saying, hey, I want to be in your convention? Or has it all been you reaching out to them?
We get that a lot nowadays. We get a lot of people that reach out to us. And, you know, our guest list is so huge. That's the hard part is sometimes we just have to say, well, we can't do it this year. Can we try next year?
That's a good problem to have.
I was going to say, how does that feel for you coming up from, like, you know, 11 years ago, trying to, like, get 15 guests on a list to where you're actually turning down celebrities? How does that feel?
It kills me. It really does, because I'd love to bring them in, bring all of them in, and I hate to say no to any of these people because they were icons for me.
Mm-hmm. How stressful of a job is it wrangling and managing everybody on, like, you know, a day-to-day basis leading up to a convention like this? When does it start going into overdrive for you and it start to be like an everyday kind of like hustle and bustle?
About a month before the event, it gets really crazy, and then it gets worse and worse all the way up to the day of. But, you know, we've got a lot of great people that help us out, a lot of friends and family and volunteers. So fortunately, I have that, you know, built-in system, that kind of support system to help, mm-hmm. you know, keep it, the stress down. But I got to tell you, there have been years where the stress level has been 11.
Oh, I bet. Has it ever... so what's the day-to-day like? Like, during a con, do you ever get a break, or do you ever get a chance to kind of take it all in yourself and enjoy it, or are you just behind the scenes kind of running back and forth?
It, you know, it starts... We usually get to the hotel on Wednesday or Thursday, and it starts there and progressively, you know, gets more and more busy. Mm-hmm. And I'm usually up at, you know, 7 in the morning, and, you know, I'm not in bed till, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning. And it's nonstop. I'm on my feet the entire time. Mm-hmm. So it's busy constantly. It starts to slow down on Sunday, and that's usually when I try to stop by and say, hey, thanks for coming. Can I get an autograph?
Yeah. Right. And are they charging you? They're like $15, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, most of the time, no. But, you know, I always try to make sure that I do pay them mm-hmm. for yeah. an autograph. I hate to walk up to these guys and go, hey, give me some autographs, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, welcome to my con. Now give me an autograph.
Right.
and so... that hustle and bustle, I mean, that's got to be, I bet you wouldn't change it for the world, though.
No, it's literally the funnest time of my year, every year. Mm-hmm. I love it, and I love seeing everybody happy. I think that's the biggest thing for me when I walk by lines and people are getting autographs and they're smiling and laughing and having a great time. That's really the payoff for me, knowing that everybody is enjoying themselves.
And the fact it was a really positive vibe last year too. It felt really good being at a horror convention, and there wasn't any like people being jerks between the staff and the people on the floor, like the fans. Everyone was really courteous to each other. It was really cool. Yeah, I liked the environment.
Even though you're hectic behind the scenes, it seems that, you know, everything was very well organized and everybody seemed to be very happy. So good job on that.
Well, thank you. You know, and that's really all about our attendees. They're the greatest attendees ever, and what a compliment to horror fans around the world that, you know, they come to an event like this and everybody is happy and well-behaved, if I can, you know, kind of say well-behaved. Mm-hmm. But that's really what it is. I mean, everybody is just – they just seem so happy to be there. So it's always a positive vibe.
Yeah.
So you've had all these huge guests. Is there somebody that you haven't gotten that's just kind of like a dream guest that, you know, you want to reach out to or you haven't been able to get yet?
Cronenberg. Yeah. David Ooh. Cronenberg. We've talked to him a few times, and I think he would do it if he was ever not busy during the show. But he's the guy, you know, he's always working on something. So, yeah, he would be a huge one for me, personally. But, you know, we always really we listen to what our attendees are asking for, the guests that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And that's really where the main focus is trying to, you know, bring in those guests that our attendees are asking for.
Mm-hmm. Is this like has this become a full-time job for you, like, or do you get to take a break, or is this, you know, like, I've always wondered that about somebody who owns a convention and you know, because it's one weekend a year, but obviously there's so much that goes into it. Is it always are you planning all year out? Are you talking to people all year long?
Yeah, you know, I do. I work on it all the time. Usually, the day after the show ends, I take about a month break and just kind of don't think about the convention. And then I start up again right away and start looking into guests and booking people and reaching out to people and planning the show. But it's one of those things. If you love it, you don't work a day in your life. You've exactly. heard that saying. So it doesn't feel like work to me most of the time.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So you've had one cancellation this year. Alex Winter. And is that always a bummer, especially when you get closer to the date when you have all these people who obviously are planning on coming out, and then you have to announce a can't. How does that make you? How does that feel for you to have to be like, oh, well, I don't want to type this one out today, but
yeah, it's a bad feeling because you're going to disappoint a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But it's better to go ahead and just announce it as soon as you know it, and just keep moving. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, then that's terrible. So
you don't want to hold on to it for days.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say anything about this because I'm scared to type this one out. No, I mean, you just do it. You just, bite the bullet and let people know. The worst one was when Norman Reedus had to cancel on us a couple years ago. Oh, my goodness. That was like Facebook from hell.
Oh, I bet.
I bet so many Norman Reedus fans all at once descending upon you.
Like it's somehow your fault that he had a shoot scheduled that
right
last minute, like, oh, we gotta go film stuff for the season finale,
right?
Like, I can't control that.
Yeah, so fortunately so far Alex Winter is our only cancellation, and I hear it's for a very good reason.
Bill and Ted 2? Three?
Bill and Ted 3. I was going to say 2 has been made.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I just hear it's a very, very good reason why he's not, he had to cancel.
Well, let's hope for the best.
There are rumors out there about Bill and Ted 3, so.
Right.
It could be, it could not be. But,
have you ever... Great to see Keanu smile again. In years.
Oh, shit. He's somebody else that people ask for all the time.
Oh, really?
Of course, yeah. Him and Kevin Bacon. And
Kevin Bacon makes a little, I feel like makes a little more sense.
Especially because he was in Friday the 13th Part 1. I mean, that's where he got the start of his career. So, I mean, I would love to see him in a convention.
I mean, maybe they want Keanu Reeves because of the horror films that were Matrix 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Zing.
The opinions expressed by 8-Bit Geek are that of their own.
Yeah.
Oh, that 47 Ronin movie he made. Oh my god, it's terrible.
Oh, I actually enjoyed that.
I haven't seen it.
I kinda liked it.
You liked it?
I kinda liked it. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, what's wrong with
No.
What's wrong with
I liked
Hollywood.
I want Ronin 48.
I'm a huge 3D geek. Love that. Love 3D. Especially, we've got a setup here at home with 3D, and it's really great on active, on an active system where it has active glasses and everything. Mm-hmm. And I bought that movie. Just haven't watched it yet. I'm really looking forward to watching. The thing is, a movie can be terrible in standard definition. I mean, just 2D, but you can watch it in 3D, and it makes it 100 times better.
I think you're gonna enjoy it then.
I saw it in 3D also, but it was just boring.
Would you see it at the theater though?
No, I saw it at home.
I saw it in the theater. Theater in 3D.
Okay.
I saw it at home, and I enjoyed it. And plus, you said at the beginning of the interview that you even like bad movies. You're a big fan of it, and so even if Doug thinks this one is bad, and it's not, I think you're gonna have some fun with it.
It's not. It's just a movie that it felt like they had a great idea, and then like about 30% through, they lost most of their budget, and then they spent all their budget on the visual effects, and then like just cut everything else.
Huh.
Story. Like I feel like they just fired the writers. I'm like, okay, let's turn this 3-hour epic into a 2-hour, just visual, fest. So if you like that, I mean, you're probably great.
Well, I don't know. It's like that Nick Cage movie about. Where he was driving a car in the whole movie.
Drive Angry 3D.
Drive Angry, yeah. I saw it. The first time I saw it was, 2D, and I thought it was terrible. And then I watched it in 3D and I loved it. Wow, that was great. So
it's
I don't
extra
know.
Angry in 3D.
There you go.
Yeah, well, it's a gimmick, and I guess I'm just a, you know, I fell for the gimmick.
It's Nick Cage having to pay off for the islands he bought.
Yeah.
I mean, I see a lot of movies in 3D. I think we go almost to
every
most
launch
major
to.
Releases we go yeah. to, we see in IMAX, and most of the time they're IMAX 3D, because that's typically what they do at IMAX. Mm-hmm. So I've seen, you know, a lot.
I guess maybe my eyeballs don't see it, because I'm not, I can't, I don't know, it doesn't work for me. 3D, I want it to. It has a couple times, I know that. In that terrible Fern Gully movie. What's it called? Avatar.
Avatar.
it worked for that. Like I was very amazed by the effects of 3D, and I said, "Wow, this is going to take off." And then everybody started doing post production 3D, and it just doesn't. It doesn't look the same for me.
Yeah, you know, there is a huge difference in the active shutter 3D glasses at home and the passive 3D glasses in the theater. I think the active shutter makes a world of difference.
Hmm. Do those work exclusively on home TVs, or is that something that you can actually take to the theater with you?
No, you can't. Yeah, it's home theater only. I don't know of any theatrical where they use the active shutter, but it makes a huge, huge difference. Trust me.
I'll have to try that someday then.
Yeah, I have a 3D TV that came with those, and I have never used it, even though I bought like Life of Pi, because Life of Pi in 3D was phenomenal.
Right.
And I was like, man, I'm going to buy this in 3D Blu-ray. Like, it's going to be legit. I haven't watched it.
It's great like, in
that
3D.
That was like 2 years ago. I mean, because I saw it in theater when it came out, and I was like, this is the best movie of the year. This needs to win the Oscar. And of course, it didn't, but it should have. But I think he won for Best Director, though.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right, so jumping back real quick, I wanted to ask about, because you brought up Fangoria earlier, and now you're sponsored by them. Like, what does that, how did that happen, and kind of like, what, how's the feeling of something that you loved that brought you your news and entertainment all of a sudden is now like, you know, you're partnered with them?
It was amazing. I still think it, you know, it's still incredible to think that something I grew up with is now sponsoring us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That came about, Rue Morgue used to be our sponsor. And then we kind of left Rue Morgue and we were looking for a sponsor. And before, Fangoria didn't sponsor other events because they had their own event. They had the Fangoria Weekend of Horrors, which was mm-hmm. put on by, I can't even remember, another convention outlet. Type thing, and so they never really sponsored anybody, so we actually kind of reached out to them through Chris Alexander, who is the former editor-in-chief at Fangoria. So that's what really I owe a lot to that to Chris for getting us on board with them, and he's since left, but we're still partnering with them, so it's great. It's a great feeling. But yeah, there's nothing. There's no great story behind how we were put together besides, you know, being thankful to Chris Alexander for making it happen.
Excellent.
That's awesome. And you're not planning on stopping this thing anytime soon, right? You're going to, this one's going to go on for a long time. You're going to pass it over, pass it down, and Texas Frightmare is here to stay, right?
As long as people will show up. Yeah, definitely.
It seems like it's getting bigger and bigger every year, so.
Yeah, it definitely does. And, you know, maybe we might have to leave our current venue that we're at one day, but we don't want to. We love it there.
Mm-hmm. What are you guys expecting for this year? Do you know numbers yet?
We do a lot of pre-sales, but I would say we do half or more ticket sales at the door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say.
Are you tracking yet to actually beat last year? So it is, obviously you're gonna do great.
We're definitely tracking ahead of last year in pre-sales, so
that's awesome.
Good deal.
Yeah, it's looking like it's gonna be bigger this year.
Great. And excellent. any big surprises that people can look forward to for this year?
Yeah, you know, the guest that we were just talking about is going to be a good one. I hope that works. Mm-hmm. But then we always do stuff with the Alamo Draft House, mm-hmm. and they have a couple of cool screenings planned with guests in attendance. We've also got the I don't know if we talked about the Bub photo op, which is real cool.
Yeah, George Romero with Bub.
Yeah, which is a really cool thing. Savini is actually supervising the effects. And then we've got Nora Hewitt. I mean, we've already announced that. That's not a surprise, but yeah. That's a really cool thing that we're doing.
So it's a special makeup by – are they doing Bub's makeup, or are they doing your makeup when you take your picture with them?
No, they're doing Bub. So
okay, so Howard Sherman's going to be in full Bub outfit.
Howard Sherman in full Bub outfit, makeup, the whole thing, based on Tom's original effects and all executed by – last year's face-off winner, Nora Hewitt.
Well, wow. Looks like I'm going to have to set some money aside that the wife doesn't know about. Because that is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I've got a George A. Romero print on my wall that I got at New York Comic Con a couple years ago. Like a movie poster, but like, I don't know, it's like painted. It's awesome. Man, I'm going to have to get that one signed by him.
Oh, definitely.
It's so cool.
Obviously. Yeah, I know for a fact, too, that George is going to be retiring in the next couple of years from doing conventions. So now's the time
to get out there.
It's like Stan Lee. Like, Stan Lee is starting to announce his retirement from going to conventions, too. Like, he's no longer going to the UK or Canada. So he's going to be in Dallas this summer. So we're all like, oh, shit, we should go see Stan Lee before he doesn't go to any more conventions.
Yeah.
I kind of feel the same way with Romero. It's like, ooh, we should freaking do this before I can't.
Well, that's exactly like last year when Kevin,
with Phantasm and meeting Phantasm. Angus Scrimm.
And I mean, that was, we have it on video and on and photos of it. Of just, it was a special moment because he sat there,
for 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
I felt bad for the rest of the people in the line. Yeah. You could tell the runner was like, all right, wrap it up there, Mr. Scrimm.
Yeah. Good old Angus.
Well, there was. It was like right towards the end of the day because we were like, okay, you know, there's like an hour left. You know, we need to get out of here. We got to start wrapping up and finish what we're doing. And Kev's like, okay, I'm gonna hit this line real quick. Like, you know, been here all weekend. I'm gonna go do this. I'm like, okay, cool. And then he's like, yeah, sits with him for 10 minutes. There's people in line. Like, they're like, okay, it's time to leave. You know, and then Kev's still in line. 5 minutes till doors close.
Yeah, well, people, but how like, can Mother. You? You know, I mean, he's such a nice guy, and he'll sit and talk to you, and yeah. You know, he did that with everybody.
Yeah, and that was amazing. And it's obvious. It was so sad to see him go. And the downside, the worst part is after meeting him, I couldn't stare at Phantasm the same again because every time I saw the tall guy on the screen, I'm like, oh, he's so nice. The tall man.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I was like, how could I be scared of him?
Yeah, you can't be scared of him anymore. Yeah.
So it was bittersweet.
That makes me feel glad that, like, I wanted to meet Brad Dourif last year. And I was too scared to stand in line because I get really flustered when I meet famous people. And I wouldn't have been able to watch Chucky or anything. If I'd met him and he'd been like super nice, I'd have been like, ah, you're cussing, but you're really sweet.
Yeah.
So you didn't meet him. That happened last.
Since we're there, we're pressed, we're taking photos and stuff, we go, you know, we like to get pictures of these celebrities signing things for people and like interacting with them. Sure. And but a lot of them don't like having their pictures taken, so it's kind of like we go up like, hey, we're pressed, you mind if we get some just candid shots of you you know, signing stuff? And so I'm asking his handler, and his hand like turns to him and is like, hey, can this guy get pictures of you? And he turns and looks at me and is like, what do you need? I'm like, photos. Same thing happened to me a couple years ago. We were at Alamo City Comic Con, and I talked to Scott, what's his name, he played Herschel in The Walking Dead. Yeah. It was the same thing. We're talking to his handler like, hey, you might have to get some pictures. Yeah. And there's audio. I wish Jeremy had it like just cued so he could play it. But I went up and ended up talking to him. He comes up to me and is like, hey, what do you need? Like, leaves his picture line cue or whatever to come talk to me. I'm just like, pictures.
And that's why we always like, I could go up and do it, but I love to see Doug squirm. So I'm like, Doug, go up there. And he's like, I don't want to. And then he comes back and I said, so you guys best friends now?
Yeah. And there's audio of me. It's like, hey, so what happened? Because all of a sudden they see him like, come talk to me. And like, we're like way far away from each other. And I'm just, all you hear on the audio is just me just like, so how'd it go?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So, like, yeah, I like, it's like, I want to meet Brad Dourif, but, like, I don't.
Oh, he was the greatest. He would have loved it.
Oh, yeah, that's great. And I have, like, a pop Chucky. And I was like, oh, shit, I need to take this and have him sign it. And I'm like, no, I'm too much. I can't.
I think if
that's
I'm gonna...
what you guys need to focus on as a show with is just Doug having these meltdowns.
Yes. Oh, that's a good call. We're gonna make that a whole thing.
That should be. I got to do a whole video of it.
Yeah, just me talking to people.
Yeah,
I just have to put subtitles at the bottom because you.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say instead of me just freaking out. Well, we did get to meet. We got to meet Peter Kleins last year.
Oh yeah.
Who wrote the X-Heroes, and I'm a huge fan of that series. So, like, yeah, we're walking by, and we walk past him, and I'm like, hold on, guys. I think we just passed Peter Kleins.
Yeah,
and then sure enough, it was
Devin. Didn't even know he was going to be there, yeah.
Yeah, we just sat idea. There, and...
He'll be back this year, too.
Awesome.
Yeah. We'll follow him now on Twitter and stuff. I wasn't following him before, but I'd read all four of his books, and so I'm going to pick up the fifth one from him.
Yeah, from him personally.
That's what I need to do then is I need to find a guest and just like have them approach Doug.
Yes. Just point him out and just and then have him go.
Hey, that guy is your biggest fan right there. That guy right there.
I'm trying to think of who it'd be. Like, okay. I'm just going through the list. Let's see. Anyone from the Warriors?
Yes. Oh my God, James Remar. Can't wait to meet him.
Yeah, and Michael Beck's gonna be there too. So, like, if both of them came up, I would just be like, Warriors.
You're just gonna take off whatever vest you have.
You would literally, you would literally see him in a car.
Robert Englund would probably make me piss my pants.
Okay, that's the one then.
Or Ken Hodder too, right?
Kevin, we need to talk later.
Okay. It's gonna happen, Lloyd.
Oh man,
we'll set it up.
Kane Hodder will literally choke you. That's his thing.
I know. That one, I'd poop my pants. So,
Kane Hodder's awesome.
Oh man, well, thank you so much, Lloyd, for spending the time with us. We want to go ahead and plug it, of course. Texas Frightmare Weekend, presented by Fangoria, will be held April 29th through May 1st at the Hyatt Regency at the DFW Airport. Get your passes today. And or at the door, either one. Just come to the show. It'll be awesome. It'll be great. Meet some of these wonderful guests. And me, I personally have to meet and get something signed by Robert Englund. If there was anybody who got me into horror when I was a child, it was definitely him. And Nightmare on Elm Street was
just
my favorite.
Real quick. I recently watched the Rick and Morty episode.
Mm-hmm.
With Scary Terry. Oh my God, so funny.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, you should watch Rick and Morty.
It's in the first season, and it's like an Inception episode where they keep going into dreams and they end up going into a Freddy Krueger type dream. And character's name is Scary Terry.
Yeah, but they're even running from him. And one of the characters is like, what's that? And the other one's like, oh, it looks like a copyright safe knockoff of an 80s horror franchise. And there's one where they like kind of like turn themselves into like the Fly, and they call them like Cronenberg Rick or whatever. Like that's their name. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Great.
I think my son watches that. I'll have to ask him about it.
You'll have to check it out. It's really
you'll get a kick out of it.
Yeah, it's so funny. So.
Okay.
They did a whole episode that was making fun of Needful Things by Stephen King. It was fucking great.
That was great, too.
This definitely sounds up my alley. I need to check it.
Oh, it is a phenomenal show. It's probably one of the best written TV shows in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I really think I've heard my son talking about it. So, yeah, I need to check that out.
So what movies can we expect to be screened this year at Texas Frightmare Weekend?
Okay, so the first wave of films we announced recently, starting with Last Girl Standing, which is a really cool film that's played at a couple of festivals. Then we've got one called Mortal Remains, which is a lot of fun. It's kind of a faux documentary, found footage kind of a thing.
Okay.
All about a filmmaker called Carl Atticus and, you know, the kind of the legacy of films that he left behind and the horror that ensues. Then we've got a really cool one that looks really good called Dead Body. I recommend going and checking out the trailer for that one. It's called Dead Body. It's directed by Bobbin Ramsey. And the trailer is really cool. I think you'll enjoy it. And then we've got one called Getting Schooled, which is a local filmmaker, Texas filmmaker Chuck Norfolk. It's got Ron Jeremy in it. it's kind of the 80s teen comedy, like John Hughes kind of a film, with a lot, you know, like a horror element. So that one's really cool. We've got American Guinea Pig Blood Shock. It comes from the Unearthed Films guys. The director is Marcus Koch, who's an effects guru that's had films shown at our event for many, many years. And then we've also got one called Hair Metal Shotgun Zombie Massacre.
No, that sounds like up my alley.
Yeah, it's really cool. Josh Vargas directed that. He's also a Texas filmmaker. He's got some really cool cameos from metal guys like Tom Araya from Slayer and
yes.
Randy Blythe. I had a blast watching this. He sent me the screener and was a lot of fun. We also talked about Trophy Heads. Trophy Heads is, I think you can actually watch it now, but the cool thing, Charles Band does this, you know, little 2-hour thing where he shows his movie. He buys beer for everybody that comes to his screening.
Nice.
He gets up and talks, and anybody that knows Charles Band knows it's fun to watch him talk or listen to him.
Oh, I bet, dude. Full Moon, man. I remember so much of that when I was growing up. That was the Blockbuster section right there.
Mm-hmm. Charles Band's been around for so long.
Yeah. Man, Demonic Toys. Oh,
all the classics. Puppet Master movies.
Yep.
I remember those.
I think he was even producer on Reanimator and stuff like that. So, and then one that we haven't announced yet, which is kind of an exclusive. This is the first time that I've talked about it, but we've got a new movie coming up called Bite.
Nice.
It's brand new. I'm trying to... I don't want to step on myself here and talk about stuff that I'm not supposed to talk about. So, but just... I'll just tell all your listeners, go look it up. It's called Bite.
Okay.
And there's a trailer out there for it too, but we haven't announced it. It's a brand new film, and I want to talk about who's releasing it, but I don't think I'm supposed to. That's kind of a big deal.
That's all good. That's exciting though.
Yeah. Well, listen, we'll take the exclusive name. We'll do that. I'm okay with that.
I can tell you that it's a little Cronenberg-ish.
Yeah.
So
good.
If that gives you an idea of what this movie's about.
All right. That's awesome.
So, and that's just the first wave. We've got some other films coming up that we're going to announce. So stay tuned.
Anything else you wanted to plug while you're on here? Anything? The website, which is TexasFrightmareWeekend.com. Anything else?
That's it. I've really enjoyed talking to y'all. I've had a blast, and thanks for inviting me on. I know it's been kind of difficult getting hooked up, but thank y'all very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate having you and taking your time out, and good luck at this year's show. Hope to see you there, and the best to you, man.
Yeah, we're going to have to definitely meet up with you when we get out there.
Definitely. Well, If you find me, just grab me before I run somewhere else, and
we'll do a quick selfie, and then he's gone.
Yep. Perfect.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much, and you guys can check out the website and everything else. So I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And we'll see you next time.